All right. Well, what what a week, huh? Yeah, we're all we've had, and we're all back here in this sanctuary. I just wanted to again thank you and remind you for those who are of your giving. Thank you. Your giving supports the ministries here at Palmer Church of God. So whether it's with the shoe boxes or the food pantry and other ministries that we support overseas, those resources go to support that. And so I want to thank you. So there's still several ways to give. You can go online, palmerchurchofgod.org. Go online. You can always slip it through the door if you're, you know, you're driving by and you couldn't make it in for a Sunday service, and because you're being careful with the COVID, and I definitely respect that. And of course, COVID has forced us to do a little couple things differently. So we have for those of you who are in the sanctuary, there's a box in the back in which to place your tithes and offering instead of the traditional passing of the plate. Well, as we start to get into this lesson this morning, we're going to be in Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9, 1 through 9, and then 18 through 23. We are, well, let me say this. Have you ever, like, planted something? You know, I know that the first time I ever planted something, I was in the third grade. I was in Mrs. Henry's class. I don't know why I remember that teacher, but Mrs. Henry, she stood maybe this tall, red hair, glasses, in South Dakota at Ellsworth Air Force Base, elementary school, Douglas Elementary School. Jeez, okay, so anyway, it's all coming back to me. It was the same time period when we launched our astronauts into space and the first moonwalk, and you know we had I'm going too far into it, but we had these, you know, the big TVs on the big stands, and we were all watching it. We were glued to that, watching man walk on Earth and for the first on the moon for the first time, but. All that to say, I grew my first plant. Each student was given like a little bean, and we all had, you know, the day before we were all instructed to take our little milk cartons, cut the tops off of them, wash them out, and bring them back the next day. Some of you are like, yeah, I did that, right? And so we put the seed in, and everybody every day, you know, checking every day, did it grow? You know, just waiting for that plant to sprout through the dirt and a sign of success, like, yeah, my plant. Well, that plant needed some essential things. It needed water, you know, it needed sunlight, and it needed good soil. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at being rooted. What does it look like to be rooted? And so this week we're looking, the first week this is, we're looking at planting. Next week it'll be grow. Then the next lesson will be to prune. Boy, that one, ooh, we prune. And then, of course, the harvest. This lesson, I hope that it makes us or makes us conscious of making choices to adjust our lifestyles to where we can, so that the Holy Spirit can be in our lives, to where we can create a healthy relationship with Him and have that good soil in which the gospel can grow out of us in. Psalms 1:3 says that a person rooted in their faith shall be like a tree planted by the stream of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. whatever they do will prosper. In order for a seed to grow, ultimately, in order for the seed to grow, ultimately, it needs to be planted. And I know that there's the hydroponic, usually, it's only been around for like 83 years, and with great success, tomato vines stretched out 25 feet in length. I've seen it I've seen it live up at Chena Hot Springs up there where they have a hydroponic garden. But more often than not, we're not setting up something that elaborate. The seed needs to be planted in soil, quality soil. The quality is got to be so immeasurable, the effect of it, to where it will grow that seed. It's got to have good dirt. Good dirt. You can smell good dirt. I know farmers can. They're like, yeah, that's good dirt. You can feel good dirt. You can smell that good dirt. To begin this series, we will be talking about planting the seed. So, as we look in our text this morning, I'm going to start off with Matthew, looking at the 13th chapter, starting with the first verse. And it says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. The great crowds gathered about him so that he got into the boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell along the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And he who has ears, let him hear. Jumping down 8 more verses, we read, starting with the 18th chapter, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in it himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on the account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case of 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Father God, your word is so rich. It's full of love. You spoke the words so that they could be inked on parchment. Not just to give us a book of rules, but to share your love and affection for your children. And so today, Father God, I pray that for those who are within my hearing would hear your word, not JR. Oh, no. But hear your word And Father, if any morning, this morning, oh, how I am leaning on you for your strength. The kind of strength that only you can provide. I pray that people that do hear this word would not just hear it, but just make it a part of their lives. In your name I pray, amen. Jesus gives us four scenarios of seeing of seed being spread in this parable. He explains that the seed is the word. The good news is shared with others. The soil is the heart of a person where the seed of the good news needs to take root. Jesus makes it perfectly clear that the problem in the parable, it's not about the seed, it's about the soil. That's where the problem lies. It's the soil. What kind of soil is this seed falling into? So let's take a look at these four different types of soil described here in this parable of a sower. So first of all, a hard or obvious heart is a barren wasteland. Matthew 13:19 says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. You've got to understand that the path, not like we have today, where there's a fence that guides you and you know where to go, but this path is a hardened path. Everybody travels on it. And so some are opposed. Some people are opposed to the good news. They're oblivious to it. They don't want anything to do with about it. They won't have nothing to do about it. They have a personal, maybe, what's the word? A personal vendetta, an omission about the word. They don't want to have anything to do with it. It's like, come on, preacher man, get away from me. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anything about the Bible. Whether it's at your job or in school, they're like, yeah, all right. They're one of those. I don't want any part of that. And maybe some of the reasons they rebel is because a tragic circumstance happened in their life. Something happened. And they're like, you know what? My mom was a good mom. She went to church every Sunday. She tithed. She gave everything she had. And you let her die. How is that? How is it God let... only allowed her to live to when she was like 60, and there's people that are 80, and they're not even paying attention to what the word of Jesus Christ is saying. So why should I? Has nothing to do for me. Something happened to them. They don't consider the gospel important enough to merit their attention, their time. In their minds, other things need their attention more than the gospel. In fact, the enemy will come by and snatch that seed to make sure you don't get it. The evil one will say, well, take the seed to make sure. Because there might be a chance, and the evil one says, oh no, not today. I'm going to keep you right where you are. Satan's happy about that. He's like, yeah, I've got that one. Secondly, the troubled heart produces shallow roots. We see that in Matthew 13, 20 through 21, where it says, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no roots in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately falls away. Listen, life is long. And sometimes in that journey, that life becomes oh so difficult. A heart that is troubled by obstacles and adversities of life will fail to produce deep roots. These individuals have an interest in the gospel and even seem to embrace it at the beginning of their journey. However, over time, without tending to the growth of the seed of the gospel, they will fall during the tough times and tribulations. We've got to be strong. It's so easy for one that in this soul that is described, we even see it in the church where people, there's a little bit of trouble and they're like, they're out. Hey, I am out of here. See, we've got to be like those palm trees that I've seen overseas in Okinawa, Japan, and in the Philippines, and you know those big palm trees. And I've been in many hurricanes, and the next thing you know, those winds are whipping, and those trees they're bending and bending, but their root system is such that no matter how hard those winds blow, they're deeply rooted and they're not going to fall down. They'll bend. They know that they got to bend. But they're rooted. And church, I say to you, you've got to be rooted. Because if you're not rooted, any little thing that has a little bit of push to it, a little shove to it, you're like, oh gosh, I just give up. Shallow roots will not sustain a person through the adverse and difficult seasons of life. It takes strong and deep roots, growing healthy in soil to weather the storms. Third, a detached heart bears no fruit. Matthew 13, 22. For what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Thorns are the worries of life. Thorns are like the worries of life. They kind of prick at you. They prick at the word. They entangle a person. They entangle the person in a worldly way. They irritate, they aggravate. They trouble and they hinder a person. I see that not only just not the big kids like us, but the young kids too. I see it in those who are going through high school, junior high school. And their life is such that, oh, they're cool on Sunday, but then they get in amongst the weeds. they get amongst the thorns. And I'm telling you, I've been there many years ago. But man, when you get amongst the thorns, they will choke you out. They will choke you out. They will keep you from pursuing the task that Father has laid out before you. that seed, you know, you're supposed to grow. I've seen some successful gardens here in the valley, and I know that it takes a lot of work, but if you don't weed your garden, it's a mess. You have to weed the garden. You got to get rid of the things that will keep you from growing and be a productive fruit. Nobody wants to get all tangled up in the weeds. I hope not. When a person's mind is on the worries of life, your mind is not on God. Ooh. If you're worried about this, if you're worried about that, JR, if you're worried about this and you're worried about that, then you can't. Your mind is not where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be on Him. So don't let those worries of the world choke you, JR. Don't let them choke you. Stay focused on Him. This scripture speaks of wealth. Wealth tends to consume a person's mind. It arouses the urge and passion to keep and protect what the person has. It says, I want more, I want more, I want more. A wealthy person often finds himself saying that, centered on their wealth and less centered on the Father, less centered on Jesus Christ, less centered allowing the Holy Spirit to be a part of them. So, with that being said, let me also say this. Wealth tends to misrepresent the blessing of God. Hear me. It leads a person to the false idea of security that to one who has a lot has been blessed. And the person that doesn't have a lot, they're not too blessed. Wrong, 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 wrong. Okay? The material things of this world doesn't equate to the blessings that He is giving you. Hello? Far too many people have got that misconstrued. Father knows what you need in this world. He knows you need a new pair of shoes. He knows you need something to eat. But the greatest blessing, and it's spoken of in Ephesians 1:3, we're talking about a spiritual blessing. A blessing that will last from now to eternity. Eternity. Gotta lighten that up a little bit. Listen, a distracted heart cannot grow the roots needed to sustain life. The heart that cares more for things of this world. If you're more concerned about the things of the world than what He can provide. If you're more concerned about money and stature and toys. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with the toys, but when we pit them before the Creator, then that's definitely wrong. Worldly endeavors can choke out the ability of the seed to get the nutrients and the care necessary to grow deep. Unhealthy and distracted soil is not the place to grow good seed. Not a place, definitely not a place for it to harvest or to bear fruit. A fertile soil sustains life. That last soil. Matthew 13:23 says, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. A heart that is fertile is one that readily accepts the gospel seed and does the hard work of nurturing it to grow. This heart is one that is opened by the truth of God's word. It opens up inside them. I wondered for a long time, what does it mean, you know, this in one case a hundredfold, and in another case 60, and yet another 30. I kind of got wrapped around that. This is free, okay? And so what I read when I'm looking into that, in one case a hundredfold, another 60, another 30, some dirt is going to produce 30%, and another 60. Some dirt's going to produce 100. The 100 is, you don't see that all the time. What kind of dirt are you? Right? Come on. What kind of dirt are you that, what will you yield? Will your dirt only yield 30? Will your dirt only yield 60? Or will your dirt yield 100? Because you know why? You're so dedicated on fire for God that you just like, your garden is busting with seeds. It's just flourishing. It's almost like when you have one of those kind of gardens and you're like, hey, come on over. I've got plenty. Come on over. You can have the radishes. You can have all that. You can have whatever's in the garden. You can have it. Just, you know why? Because 100% was put into it. You don't put 100% in it, you're not going to get 100% out. If your dirt is not as it should be, if it's not real good dirt, then it's only going to be 30%. That was free. This soil is good. This text speaks of this, the soil that is good. It's a transformable type of soil, and transformation takes place in this soil. This heart is made ready by the prompting of the Holy Spirit and the participation of you, the individual. This heart doesn't just experience growth for themselves, but actually impacts all those around them. Right? Look at a good healthy tree, a good apple tree. Right? An apple tree planted firmly, rooted, great soil. That apple tree will produce enough apples to feed dozens of people. I know that there's some like Mr. Roberts that has that crab apple tree. That crab apple tree just produces a lot of animals, just those little apples, but it's on good soil. A tree in good soil can also provide shade, provide comfort from the heat. So, are you indifferent? Are you indifferent to the good news of Jesus Christ? Are you need to spend more time on the condition of your heart so that the seed of the gospel can grow deep and have healthy roots? Are you distracted? Are there too many things in your life clamoring and begging and bidding for your time that doesn't allow you to to dig down deep and establish their roots. Like I said, if you've had an earthly garden, you know that it takes time and it takes effort and it takes work. But in the fall, in the harvest, when you reap those rewards and you're like, oh, this is the best carrot ever. When you read God's word and you're so into it, you're like, oh, how did I not ever see that before? It just explodes off the page. You're not going to get that unless you're deeply rooted. So, what can you do this next week to strengthen the soil of your heart? Okay, so, one, dedicate time in prayer. I mean, I'm serious. I'm not just saying it. Do it. Why? Because I said so. There. Dedicate time in prayer. That could be another sermon. Okay. All right. Secondly, oh, I know this was going to hurt. Removal of distractions, no TV, no sleeping too late, no social media. Who? I don't believe you said that. Okay. What would it look like if you fasted from social media? Maybe you can't do it all week because you're like, there's no way. I believe in God, but come on. All week, no social media? All right. Do this. If you're sitting next to somebody right now, look at them and say, I am promising on this day to stay away from social media. Do it right now. If you're at home, talk to somebody who's with you. If not, give me a shout and say, Pastor JR, I'm giving up a day. I'm going to try to give up a day, but I will give you an hour, okay? I will give you an hour. I know I can because 2:30, yeah, I can give you an hour. But if you want to be rooted, give it up for a day. Come on. Dig down deep. Get rid of the things. And just because you're like, well, I was on the internet. I was on social media and it said, God bless you and da 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 da. And, you know, come on, really? Come on. I'm not saying it's wrong, but do it a day. If you can't do a day, give me an hour. Can you give me an hour? Can you give me an hour each day? Oh, I just upped the ante. Can you give me an hour each day? Hey, listen, you're not giving it to me. You're surrendering that so that you can bear good fruit. Dedicate every morning. Every morning, break it out. Break it out. Let the Father hear this. He can't hear this. I'm trying to beat you up. But get into God's word, please. He's got something there for you. I promise. I promise. I say that with confidence. There's some things I can't say with confidence, but that I can. There is something for you. He has something for you. He just wants you to go there. Go there. Lastly, meet with me, Pastor Karen, a church leader to discuss past hurts that are presently hindering you from growth. Come talk to me. My door is wide open. And if you come knocking on my door and say, JR, hey, dude, I need to speak at you. Something is tugging at me. Something is affixed itself to me, and I got to let it go. I don't want it to be a part of my life, because if it's a part of my life, this thing, I can't grow like you talked about last Sunday. But my soil is not giving the full nutrients to the seed. The seed, God's word. So this morning, as I'm closing, I'm going to encourage those who are seated here this morning to come forward and say, Father, I need good dirt. I need to be good dirt. And Father, this morning, I am just saying, whatever it is that's hindering me from being able to give 100-fold, would you please remove that out of my life? I invite you here this morning to do that. So, Father God, this morning, in this first lesson, being planted, I pray that this word takes root in each and every one who has heard this word. Not my word, but your word. Because your word, in your word, there are promises that will always be kept. And we know that you'll always be there for us. We just need to come to you, and we need to come to you clean. We need to admit those things that have kept us from being the type of soil that we were intended to be. And Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for blessing us. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.